From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Just Say Fiat, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Wow.
Very precise.
That was great.
Yeah, what, you know, I don't have a Fiat, I have a Honda.
Well, maybe you better move up a little bit in this world.
Fiat means what? What does it mean? Kevin, we have Kevin O'Connell. He is an expert on Fiat. What does Fiat mean?
Fiat is saying yes to God. Mary said yes to God.
But I don't have to say yes to Tony, do I?
No.
You sure?
But, right. But we need to say yes to God when he calls us.
That's right. And we're waiting for Father McGuire to say yes on the other end of the phone.
And this is,
he's not there right now.
Oh, he's not?
No.
I just want to quote from Pope Benedict XVI.
Oh, thank God you're here, because Father Bob is... Go ahead.
The Fiat of Mary, the word of her heart, has changed the history of the world because it brought the Savior into the world, because thanks to her yes, God could become man in our world and remain so for all time.
That's and a that's thought what from... Al, that's what Al's singing about.
Yeah,
hey, Trevor, can we hear more of Al?
Out of way.
It's probably going to the instrumental
Sorry,
part.
Sorry, Al.
And I promise I'll be very good.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Get that tape over here!
That was me covering Palmer's mouth.
Listen to these words.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day.
Well, we heard those words, and we're trying once more to get Father Bob McGuire on the phone, and we'll have to just wait and see if he's there.
This is try number two.
Fiat means a surrender to the Holy Spirit and a surrender to Mary. And that's what the Fiat Rosary is about. And we have Kevin O'Connell, who's the Associate National Director of Fiat International.
USA, Kevin, USA.
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 Right. You know, Kevin, I never heard about the Fiat Rosary and the prayer that's involved. How did it get started?
Well, God chose two senior citizens, Cardinal Soonans and Veronica O'Brien. Both of them were 79 or 80. And then they had a ministry. The idea is Cardinal Soonans, he was involved in two of the greatest events of the 20th century. He was involved in the Second Vatican Council and the Charismatic Renewal. Basically, even before the Second Vatican Council, John Paul II, he was going to call a council, but he said, I'm going to call my closest friends together. We're going to pray, fast, and read the Acts of the Apostles. After that, then he announced the calling of the Second Vatican Council. So Cardinal Soonans was in that unique group. Mm. And before the Vatican Council wasn't even announced. And then basically he prepared for it. He became a moderator in the Vatican Council. And then he convinced Rome that the charismatic renewal was real. Because up to that point, so he was instrumental in having the church recognize the Catholic charismatic renewal. One day after the charismatic renewal was introduced into the church in 1975, Pope Paul VI thanked him publicly for bringing the Catholic charismatic renewal into the center of the church. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other things was the Veronica O'Brien.
Stay with the charismatic renewal. So, because they're the ones, they're the Catholics who wave their hands and hug each other.
Well, they praise and thank God. Basically,
is that what
praise
doing?
And thank God. If you go back to Scripture in the book of Tobit, before the healing archangel went back to heaven, he said we should always praise and thank God.
Yeah.
So the charismatics, they do that. This is the archangel going back to heaven, and the last thing he said was always praise and thank God. So charismatics start with praising and thanking God.
Yeah, but they're the nutty ones in the Catholic Church. I know, because I'm in charge of them. And and people said to me, does the bishop think the charismatics are crazy? I said, I don't know about that, but he put a psychologist in charge of them.
So did you ever see Palmer do charismatic prayers?
Yes.
He does like a dance all over
right,
the place.
Yes.
But you know, the whole crux of the charismatic movement is surrender to the Holy Spirit. And that's really so central.
Okay, I have a burning question to ask.
Uh-oh.
And here it is. Here it comes.
Uh-oh.
We all know and we all say the regular rosaries.
Right.
With the five decades of the mysteries, every day a different mystery.
Right.
And we all say the scriptural rosaries.
Right.
Now, why should we say the Fiat Rosary?
Well, the Fiat Rosary, basically you're praying to the Holy Spirit in union with Mary. And then you're asking the Holy Spirit to help us relive in union with Mary the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries.
I see.
And then you're asking the Holy Spirit to inspire you in the faith of your baptism. You're asking the Holy Spirit to be renewed in the grace of Pentecost, to be nourished by the Eucharist. So you're asking the Holy Spirit. You have the three sacraments of initiation to work through, inspire you, help you to be nourished, renew you, so you can live your faith in word and deed every moment of your life. So you're praying to Mary to ask the Holy Spirit to work in you as he worked in the 12 apostles.
Now, is the Fiat
Rosary... Isn't that wonderful?
That's a great answer.
No, but
that's the whole ministry.
That's the opening prayer.
Okay, now.
Can you read the opening
prayer? Let me read it.
Okay.
Remember,
I do have another question.
Oh, yeah, fine.
But when I'm
get
saying,
in line. Raise your hand.
When I'm saying this prayer, I'm praying with Mary as I'm saying, Mary, pray with me as you prayed with the apostles in the upper room.
Oh.
So it's not my prayer. I'm consciously being aware to pray with Mary. Who was the mother of God, the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
And you know, a lot of people forget she was in the upper room.
Right, yes.
So read the prayer.
Help us to relive, this was speaking to the Holy Spirit, in union with Mary. Help to relive the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries. Amen. So we're asking her to relive, to see the face of Jesus in the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries.
And luminous.
No, but basically, this was in 1984 came out.
Okay.
So you relive this focus on Jesus through Mary's eyes, to see the face of Jesus through Mary, and then you're asking the Holy Spirit to inspire me in the faith of my baptism. There's three sacraments of initiation. Help me to be nourished in the Eucharist. Renew me in the grace of Pentecost. So as to live in word and deed, always and everywhere, as a faithful witness of Christ and the love of his divine heart. So you're asking the Holy Spirit to really work in you as he worked in the apostles. This is a powerful prayer, but it's not me doing this. I'm saying, Mary, pray with me.
So that's it's wonderful. To the Holy Spirit through Mary.
Right. You ask it, and you ask, these are the petitions. Okay. To relive, to see the face of Jesus through Mary's eyes.
Okay, now, how many decades are there? Okay. Are there five?
No, what we do is you pray, there are, the way the Sophia Rosary is set up, you meditate on three joyful mysteries. Three sorrowful, three glorious. You only say three Hail Marys for each mystery.
So it's a different structure completely.
A different structure, right, yes.
I see.
So you start off praying to the Holy Spirit in union with Mary. And then you say one Our Father for the whole, you know. And then you, the three joyful mysteries are Mary's birth, the birth of Mary, the Annunciation, and the Nativity. The three sorrowful mysteries you meditate on, the agony in the garden, the carrying of the cross, and the crucifixion. The three glorious mysteries are the Resurrection, Pentecost, and the Assumption of Mary. Because remember, the origin was Veronica O'Brien, on the birthday of Mary in 1984, had a religious experience. She said, Jesus, what are you going to give your mother for her birthday? This is your mother's birthday. And she saw in this spiritual experience a small reduced rosary. And then she told Cardinal Sunan the next day, and that was the origin.
I see.
Now, then she wrote her religious experience up, submitted it to the church, and they approved it. And 4 months later.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
In Belgium. Then 5 months later, John Paul II came along. They gave him the rosary and the booklet. And in the 1980s, he approved this new approved devotion to the Holy Spirit.
And there's a special rosary that you hold when
yes,
you pray?
Yes.
Well, tell the people about that.
Well, basically, you have the you have a medal, on the fiat medal. You have the Holy Spirit descending, hovering over a diamond. Mary is the A diamond is a perfect thing. So Mary, the Holy Spirit is over Mary. That's on the front of the fiat medal. On the back of the fiat medal, you have three circles, and you have the initials, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then basically you have the word fiat. Yes to the Father. Yes to the Son. Yes to the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know why.
And you're asking Mary to help you say that, yes.
Right, yeah, Mary, pray with me.
So it's another instrument to get closer to Mary and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Well, you're praying to Mary in union with the Holy. You're praying to the Holy Spirit. You're imitating the apostles in the upper room. You're praying to the Holy Spirit in union with Mary. You're asking Mary, be my prayer partner.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's wonderful. How can you get these?
I'm a distributor. Part of my title, I distribute fiat literature.
Good.
And then my email is kevin783@verizon.net.
Say it again.
kevin783@verizon.net. Oh. Now, put the word fiat rosary, and this way I'm not going to delete something. I don't know this person. And basically I could contact you and I could mail you this information.
And the fiat movement is an international movement.
It's in over in 120 countries.
Isn't that amazing? Kevin, to be honest, I haven't heard much about it.
Well,
I
try.
That's why I'm glad you're here.
And I guarantee you, I would say 90% of our listeners haven't heard.
No,
it's
a new approved. Remember, it's a new approved devotion to the Holy Spirit, and you basically
through Mary.
Yes, you're praying to the Holy Spirit. Now, recently, you know how God works. I bought a CD from Patty Mansfield 5 years ago.
Sure, when, Patty.
And then I never played it, and then I started to play it just recently before I went to New Orleans. And I just want to give you something. Patty was talking about.
Just for a minute, though. Hi, Father Bob. Are you there? I don't know. Father, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh. Okay, just welcome to the program. This is Kevin O'Connell, Father, who's talking. And he's telling us about the fiat rosary. And we're going to let him finish, and then we're going to focus on all the things that you've done through Spirit Life Center. Wouldn't that be great?
And when do I start?
In just a few more minutes, Father. Okay. You're not going. Do you have to run away?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
And I can hear what's being said.
Okay, that's great. You know what? There are people all over Long Island, Father, who are listening because they always ask me, "How's Father Bob? What's he doing? He was so important in my life." Mm-hmm. So, Father, you know, let's let Kevin finish, and then we'll come back. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Okay.
In October of last year, I happened to pick up a CD I bought 5 years ago, and it was called Seeking the Face of Jesus. Now, Patty Mansfield was giving a talk.
Right.
And it was basically on John Paul's encyclical for the new millennium, Nova Millennium. Right. And then basically the Pope said, this is what in section two, he said, He put before us a vision. He said, "Start afresh with Jesus." That's mm-hmm. his words. Mm-hmm. Jesus is a person. He is the risen Lord.
Yes.
And then he said, "I want you to contemplate the face of Jesus in three ways." Now you can use it with the face of the Son, S-O-N. The face of this man of sorrows, the face of the one who is risen. To break it down another way, he wants you to contemplate Jesus in the crib, on the cross, and the risen Lord.
Wow.
Then I got an instant, sometimes you get an insight, you blink your eye, and an instant. The Fiat Rosary does that. The Pope is calling the entire church to contemplate. Contemplate is look with love at the face of Jesus in the crib, cross, and risen Lord. And the insight was basically, the Lord led me to the Fiat Rosary in 1997.
How did you get into this? How did you do this? What got you into the Fiat Rosary?
I was bargaining with God. I said, my wife is dying of cancer. I'll say the traditional rosary. And then basically, you're going to cure my wife. You know, that's the way it's going to be.
Okay. And then you press the button and it happens.
And then basically, I tried to walk from my house to the Freeport Railroad Station and say the rosary. I had no peace. I said, I can't do this. I'm not getting peace because I'm trying to do it while walking. And then basically, I got a Christopher News note, number 353, and then it mentioned the Fiat Rosary. And I ordered it. I didn't really appreciate it. And I could do that. I could say three Hail Marys. I could walk, say one Hail Mary slowly, walk, and think about each mystery, the three joyful mysteries. Then the three. And then, so basically, I never finished the rosary getting to the railroad station. I had a whole day to say 27 Hail Marys. And mm-hmm. that changed my life in a sense.
Wow.
So this was preordained, I'm sure.
Well, I always give, anytime I give a talk, I always say three experiential truths. God always takes the initiative. He meets you where you are, and there are no coincidences.
Absolutely.
Those experiential truths that I learned in my walk with the Lord. He met me where I was, and then basically I found this rosary, and it gave peace to me. Because basically, I'm going to end this up. After my wife died, I got a letter from somebody, a lady who I didn't see in 43 years. She wrote and says, "Call Father Bob McGuire."
There you are, Father.
She didn't even know him, a friend knew him. So I said, what I'm going to do is, I don't want to lie to this lady. So I'm going to pray to God that he Father Bob's not there. I'm off the hook. And God didn't answer my prayer, and that's the turning point in my life, because I called up Father Bob, and I'm telling God, please don't let him be there. And he was there, and he said, come on over. And I started there in 1997 with ACOK, and I was there until it closed in 2003.
So, Kevin, you and Bob, Father Bob, are old friends.
We're old friends.
Oh, yeah, Father Bob?
There's no coincidences in life.
No coincidences. By the way, Father Bob, I'm Anthony. I'm John Palmer's partner.
As Dr. Anthony Schiffo, to be precise, Father.
And it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. And I heard so much about you, and I hope someday we'll meet in person. And I'm sure we will. Welcome.
Father? Am I on?
Father, did you know that Kevin was praying that you wouldn't be there?
Frequently, I get very strange, and I go places I'm not existing in.
Father, well, we just want to welcome you to the program. And I have a little treat. And I'm going to ask Trevor, would you put on number two and see if you recognize what's playing in the background, Father. Now, number two. And then number three.
By the way, Palmer's the executive producer.
I don't know.
He's up for re-election, Father.
Make it loud. No, that's not it. You sure there's no number two there? Okay.
By the way, I'm the only guy that votes, Father.
All right. Well, Father, my big surprise is over.
Well, that's a surprise.
I had Jerry DeAngelis all plugged in to sing the spirit song, and evidently it didn't
come out soon.
No, I don't think so. Father, how did you ever get into starting Spirit Life Center in Plainview? What happened? What inspired you to do that?
Well, it was a matter of the movements of the Holy Spirit, obviously. Usually it's what I call conflict resolution. When things didn't work out, other things happen. And, of course, in the earliest years, I was with five different orders of sisters, and they were all in the Charismatic Renewal, and there was a convent that was available at St. Pius X in Long Island and in Plainview. And the sisters, if I could ever remember them, they had Sisters of St. Joseph, the Mercy Sisters, the Palatines, the Dominicans, and I think I got them all. At least there's four there. And they had a prayer meeting at this convent that had been just vacated, and it evolved into a community of praise and worship. And as it evolved, and then the pastors changed and transitions took place, and then I took care of my father then, who was getting quite elderly, and I made a CD, Living with My Father in the Convent, and that was quite uproarious, and so I took care of him until he was 95 and went home to the Lord. In fact, his wake, one person said, boy, did you just have a wake for a cardinal? No, I said, it's my father in the convent. He said, well, I don't understand that, but I accept it as God's ways. But these are what I call divine coincidences of the Holy Spirit. And things evolved. The sisters went to another community. They continued their prayer meetings. And then what evolved into it, according to the necessities of the moment, there were some residential friends who stayed at the convent to help me out. And people began coming. And believe it or not, it evolved with a mass at 5 o'clock at St. Pius. And then after that, there would be a meal served. And I got cooks who were usually good. And everybody learned to do something because it became their secondary home. I call it the whole process of upper rooming the church. Mm-hmm. We have to be upper roomed to the Spirit of God in these days. And that evolved very rapidly into the prayer meeting that would be held. And that was on Sunday after the meal, mass, meal, and then prayer meeting. And then, if I can continue briefly,
sure. Keep going.
On Friday, we developed something which was extraordinary. It was a 12-step program based on Scripture. It was the regular 12-step program on Scripture integrated with the Catholic special dimension, which was on the fifth step, which is reconciliation or confession, preferably. But all people could come, whatever denomination. And then, of course, we had Mass, and the people who wanted to stay for that, who were Catholic, they could. And others would just watch and be part of it. And we were very orthodox in everything that evolved. And then I'll be ending soon here. Thursday, we began to have a divorced and separated community, mainly of the women. There were 39 women that would come and share the word of God and be guided by a wonderful pro bono lawyer. These women tended to be victimized in many ways by lawyers. And then the men I worked with, but they tended to speak a lot about sports, so I sort of saw them later. But the women have continued over the years in prayer that supported them in difficult times, raising children, etc. And then Wednesday, we had Project Rachel, which was mothers of aborted children. And there we had an amazing transformation of those who were faithful to the Lord and the Scripture. Even though they went to confession, a lot of them couldn't forgive themselves. But then we had the consciousness that the child that they aborted is eternal, and that the child needed to be forgiven, to forgive the mother, forgive herself and the father, and that the child would be recognized as the child of God. And they named the child, and I feel it could be sexually the right name and the right sex. And this was extraordinary. And I know one woman said to me she had been depressed for almost 11 years, but after she got forgiven, especially through confession, naming the child, she said the whole depression left. Well, that's a very rapid dimension of the evolving nature of the Spirit Life Center.
You know, Father, I had a woman in private practice several years ago who had an abortion. And she said, well, it's no problem. I have no problem with it. I went on and on and on. And it came Christmas Eve, and there was a knock at my door. And I opened the door, and there she was, hysterical. I was wrong. I can't deal with this. I said, come in and sit down. And I said, I have a friend, a priest friend, Father Bob McGuire. Let me see if I can get him. Now, I never could get you on the telephone. Mm-hmm. Never.
Still can't.
I know.
Still have a problem.
I called you, and I hear, hello, it's Father Bob. I said, I can't believe it. So I said, I had this woman, and I explained the problem. Send her over, just like you said to Kevin. And she evidently came to you and went to confession. And her whole life changed, Father.
Yeah.
Because you were there. And because you...
Well, the Lord was there in a true acknowledgement of the reality of forgiveness.
Yes.
That's the essential part of it.
And you know, that you have that special gift, Father, of being able to relate to the emotionally poor, which is what your whole center was about.
Right.
And we miss that so much on Long Island because of the beautiful things that happened there. I used to go to your Saturday seminars. I know, Kevin,
right.
You did as well.
Right.
And then you had the Mass at St. Pius X on Sundays.
Right.
And big crowds would show up, and you always had prayer teams, which kind of goes along with Kevin with the Fiat.
This was right after the Mass.
Yes. And people were touched and were healed. And for so many years. How many years was the center there, Father?
Well, I'd say maybe almost 20 over the years with the sisters and with the Spirit Life Center, right?
And
because it had a previous name, it was a community of lay people and evolved into the Spirit Life Center.
Yeah,
New Bethlehem Community.
New
was
Bethlehem,
that original
right?
name.
I just want to add, though, just with your prayer group on Sunday nights, it's still going on. For
praise
people
God.
Who, it's at the Kingdom of God Church, I
no,
believe?
No, Lutheran Christ the
Lutheran,
King.
Okay.
Oh. And Melville.
Melville.
Oh, is that where? Okay.
Yes, in Melville.
Father, this is Anthony. I got one quick question for you, Father. Apparently, you have touched many people's lives, and apparently you have left your mark as a priest and as spirituality. I'm just wondering, and this is a common question I ask many people.
It's the same question. What do you mean common?
What made you become a priest?
Myself.
Were you always inclined to be a priest?
Well, no, it was in a different era, dearest brother. It was the era of 1945, and the war had ended. In fact, I entered the day of the Japanese surrender, no less. And but it was a transitional time where the younger generation was conscious of the need of beginning anew. And I felt at the time, and certainly it was due to the Jesuits who I was moved at a retreat at Morristown Retreat House to think seriously of entering the Society of Jesus. But that was a different era. It doesn't mean it's not going to repeat itself, but it was almost a trauma time of consciousness that there is a need of a new life, not only in the church and churches, but in the country itself. Yes.
But you also, right after being ordained, came down with cancer, did you not?
That's right.
Why don't you tell the people what happened?
Yeah, that was St. Vincent's Hospital, a magnificent place run by the Sisters of Charity, and some of the most capable doctors and surgeons were there. And I felt there was an enhancement of intimacy with the Lord and with the authenticity of a Catholic hospital. Very capable, sad, due to other bureaucratic issues. St. Vincent's Hospital doesn't exist anymore.
Tell people about the cancer, because it was of your throat.
Well, it was a cancer of the throat. And I had to have my thyroid removed. And the thing that there was a fear that I would not speak again, that I'd have a very hoarse and inadequate voice. But the doctor himself, after the operation, was an extraordinarily... in fact, the surgeon was called J.C. not J.C. the Jesus Christ, but it was John Conley. And they were very capable, and one of the consultant doctors after the operation said, and at 141 stitches, which is something,
wow.
And the doctor said, the assistant, he said, he's amazed that I could even talk, that the vocal cords, even one was partially paralyzed, that I can still talk in the way I can talk right now.
Now, Jesus and God had a plan for you.
You have no to talk louder. I can't hear you.
Jesus and God had a plan for you, and
well,
there's no doubt about that.
Well, it's true with everybody. If we, it's a tragedy. Well, maybe the opportunity is we have to sort of fall apart for a while and say, well, there must be something more here. And I feel our beloved country right now is being confronted with the area of... something is the matter, and I'm not getting into politics. I'm just saying
you would never get into politics, would you, Father?
It's economic disaster we're confronted by, and natural causes of disasters, reminding ourselves that we have to relook at our nation under God with liberty and justice for all. It's by the people, for the people, with the people, and that is the God is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely, amen, and praise Jesus.
Well, Father, why don't you tell people what you did right after you left the center and where you are now?
I went to Auriesville, the shrine of the North American Martyrs. That's just 40 miles west of Albany, and it's a shrine where Isaac Joes was martyred, and René Goupil was a novice Jesuit at that time. And then also John Lalanne, a layman. So all three were martyred by the Mohawk Indians. And then, of course, we have the North American martyrs. We have in Canada, and we have a unique combination there. That's New York is where we were and where we had our shrine is. By the way, the shrine is a beautiful place. If it's in function, I hope it will be. And it has the largest Catholic church in the country.
Wow.
Now, people say that doesn't sound possible. Well, it's a Colosseum, and it's large in the sense of it holds 6,500 people.
You're kidding.
So it hasn't been filled in a long time.
I bet.
And John de Brebeuf and his companions were the Canadian Jesuits who were martyred. So it was the Jesuits paid a very unique price at that time, and it gave new life to the church in this country.
Father, now you're at
Murray Weigel Hall
at Fordham University.
Yes, Murray Weigel Hall is after John Courtney Murray, an extraordinary Jesuit, a theologian, and Gustav Weigel was another Jesuit, worked very much in Chile, had outstanding things. So it's a combination of Murray Weigel, and it's contiguous to Fordham University, and there are about 50 Jesuits here who are in different levels of retirement.
Well, we all have to retire sometime.
Oh, yeah? Why?
But, you know, but you know, Father, I cannot help but tell you again how many people, whenever I go over Long Island, because I've been doing the renewal work in the diocese for 6 years now, they always ask, where's Father Bob? How's Father Bob? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you here, is to help me answer those questions to these people. And I'm going to try, Father. I'm going to try. Trevor, I'm going to see. Can we try maybe four? Maybe song four might come on. I'm going to get Jerry DeAngelis on here.
This doesn't work, Palmer. I'm not voting for you.
Okay.
Well, it's an interesting thing concerning my dear brother, Jerry DeAngelis. We had a drama. It was an evening drama called The Quest.
And he is.
We did it at 26 churches on the island.
Yes.
And all appropriate, very approved, very beautiful, what I call liturgical dance and music, that some said it was the most awesome experience they had of praise and worship outside of the Eucharist itself.
Oh. And, of course, Jerry's music is just beautiful.
Right.
He's going to play God Alone.
My treasure, my portion, delight of my soul. My life, my salvation, my fortress, my God, and my all. Oh, my soul, claim nothing. God alone,
You know, Father,
yeah.
This song brings back so many memories. Just let it keep playing.
Right.
And I'm sure it brings back memories for you. But I know there are hundreds of people all over Long Island who remember those songs and the Jerry singing and the presentations that you made and the healing ministry that you had all over Long Island. And it's just such a wonderful experience for me personally to be able to thank you on behalf of the diocese and on behalf of all these wonderful people who were touched by your love and by your fiat. You're a very special man. You're a holy man. And I know it, and all of us who are part of Spirit Life Center know this. And we pray constantly for your health and for your dedication and your enthusiastic spirit that you share so openly and so freely with anyone who knows you. You're just a blessing to us.
Well, we are what we remember, mm-hmm. but we are how we remember.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
It's very beautiful, Father. Very beautiful statement.
God love you, dear brother.
God love you, Father. God we all know you. It's God alone who touches us.
Absolutely.
God bless you, Father.
Amen.
Father Bob McGuire, what a gift to Long Island.
And how many souls he touched.
Thousands.
Tremendous.
Thousands. You said hundreds, but it had to be thousands.
Yeah.
You are my treasure, my portion, delight of my soul. My life, my salvation, my fortress.
Thank you, Jesus, and Father Bob. His devotion to Mary and through Mary to the Holy Spirit is his fiat, and it's quite a statement that his life has made on Long Island.
Claim the thing as your own, for him, God, and God alone.
That was kind of special for me. It was like a nostalgia time
right.
for me.
Look,
you two, Kev?
Look back, yes.
It was really nice. Like he said, you are what you remember.
Yeah, and he certainly is a wonderful person. Wonderful person.
Yeah.
And he's devoted his whole life.
And you have a saint of the day.
I do, and I'll do it very quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
As quick as I can, just don't get me nervous.
Okay,
the saint
don't
of the
get
day,
nervous. We got 15 minutes. We got plenty of time.
The saint that I have is another saint that said fiat to the Holy Spirit. And his name is St. Paul the Hermit. It just so happens that St. Paul the Hermit was the first hermit in the Catholic religion. And he was born in the year 230, right when the Christianity was starting to develop and people were starting to, and the Romans were starting to get mad at them and martyring them. So, but he was young. He was rich. He was well educated. He was happy. Everything should have been perfect for him, except he was a Christian. His name was Paul. He was 20 years old. And his home was the once great city in Rome, which stands on either side of the River Nile in Egypt, of Egypt. I'm sorry. In those days, the mighty Roman Empire stretched from Rome into Egypt. So what the Romans said law was that all Christians were going to be martyred. And so they were in peril of being martyred by the Roman Empire, even in Egypt. His brother-in-law was very jealous of the wealth of Paul because the parents died and left everything to Paul. And he plotted to get that wealth. And one of parts of his plot was he was going to turn him over to the Romans. And Paul got wind of that. And so he left. He left everything. And he went into the desert. And it just so happened, he went to the desert to escape being martyred. But the Holy Spirit touched him. And he became isolated. Lived like a hermit. And guess what? He liked that life, living like a hermit. And so he decided, he began to enjoy it. You know what a hermit is, right, Palmer?
I am one.
Well, a hermit is someone, so those that really are not sure, someone who moves away from normal everyday life and lives alone in a secluded place.
I told you, I am one.
So Paul found he enjoyed this life. And that's what he began to do. And he decided to remain a hermit, probably in response to the call from the Holy Spirit. After several years, so the story goes, a raven began to visit Paul every day, his only friend. And each visit, the raven brought him a half a loaf of bread, which he dropped near Paul's cave. Paul continued to live in this way for many years. Then one day, another Christian came by who was also to become a saint, and he was led to Paul's cave, apparently by the Holy Spirit. This man was Anthony, and he too was a devout and thoughtful Christian. But what was truly amazing about their meeting was that on the day they met, the raven brought not one half a loaf of bread, but a full loaf of bread to them. The two men took a long time to start eating this meal because Paul insisted that Anthony eat first because he was a guest, and Anthony insisted that Paul eat first because he was older, and at last they agreed to eat together, like you and I do.
Yeah,
Palmer.
When we go out
like
to eat.
Like when we
right.
go out to eat.
Right.
You know the way we do it, because we respect each other's age. The two men who had done much thinking about what it means to be a Christian, and they spoke about it. And they talked a lot about it. After some time, Paul told Anthony about his home. He also told Anthony that since he was now a very old man, he knew he was about to die. He said that he would love to be buried in a particular cloak he once wore. Anthony so wanted to please the old man that he set out in search for the cloak. When he returned with it, he found Paul stretched out on the sand. Anthony thought he was praying and knelt beside him to pray, but he realized that Paul was dead. As the story goes, a pair of passing lions helped Anthony to drag Paul to his grave. This may or may not be true, but Anthony did some of Paul's palm leaf clothes. He took it for remembrance, which he wore on special occasions in memory of this hermit. He himself later became known as Saint Anthony of Great of Egypt. And so Paul died at the ripe old age of 113.
Wow. So there's some value to being
a hermit. I'll say.
You live longer.
I'll say. And so that's the story of
I never heard of St. Paul the Hermit. I never heard of the Fiat Rosary.
Well, this is why I thought I'd
been
talk
led
about
such
Saint
a sheltered
Paul,
life as a hermit.
Yes,
it's
you
tough.
Have. But you know, I'm taking you out of your shell, little by little, Palmer.
Thank you. You know, Kevin, maybe we usually pray for healing
right.
on the show. Maybe if you would lead us in the Fiat Rosary. Now, that would be wonderful.
Before you do that, Kevin, I just want to mention one thing about Kevin. You know, he's not just isolated to one thing. He wears many, many hats, and he belongs to a lot of groups. Besides being a very influential person in the Fiat movement, he's also a member of the Bridge of Peace.
I belong to two prayer groups. I was invited to be part of the Bridge for Peace team. I belong to the Father Bob's Spirit Life prayer group for 15 years.
And also, just wants to mention about the having a walk for Rome. And so Kevin could mention it quickly. But
the Bridge for Peace is going to Rome. Four people are going over, and they're going to pray for the priest. Basically, who are over there. Some of the priests have difficulty because they come from Africa and other areas. The language is different and everything else, so they need prayers.
And we're going to do that.
We're
going to not only pray for them, but for all of our listeners. Go ahead, Kev.
We're going to the opening prayer. We're praying to the Holy Spirit in union with Mary. We're imitating the apostles in the upper room. Holy Spirit, help us to relive in union with Mary the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries of Jesus. Amen. Grant that we may be inspired by the faith of our baptism, nourished by the Eucharist, renewed in the grace of Pentecost, so as to live in word and deed, always and everywhere, as a faithful witness of Christ and the love of his divine heart. Amen. Now we say one hail, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now we're going to, the first joyful mystery is the birth of Mary. Mary said yes. As I just like to repeat that thing. The fiat of Mary, the word of her heart, has changed the history of the world because it brought the Savior into the world. Because, thanks to her yes, God could become man in our world and remain so for all time. Three Hail Marys. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Instead of saying glory be to the Father, we say joy and glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. The second joy...
Well, we're going to have to stop in interest of time, but you repeat that again and again.
Yeah, right. But remember, we're doing Pope... When John Paul II, he said, contemplate the face of Jesus. Look at the face of Jesus. So basically, when you say the Fiat Rosary, you are contemplating the entire life of Christ. Jesus in the crib, the cross, and then the risen Lord. Now, the Fiat Rosary ends with a song, and it says, Mary, teach us always to say yes to the Lord every moment of our lives. Mary, teach us always to say thanks to the Lord every moment of our lives. Amen.
Well, it's wonderful. Really, Trevor, we're going to finish with that God Alone. Could you put God Alone back on, the song that was just on? Because we're asking Mary to lead us to the Holy Spirit so that people can handle any and all concerns in their life. Recognize that this God Alone who does everything.
God Alone. God Alone. In your courts, oh my Lord, is my home. You are my treasure.
Now, listeners, put yourself in the presence of God and pray with Mary through to the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of the Lord may come alive in you and help you with your concern of the moment. Jesus knows what's in your heart. He knows all the problems that you carry. He's God. He's God, my friends. He's God. And he's alive in you. He's alive in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. He knows what you face today. He knows what your concerns are. Just relax. Fiat. Say yes, Lord. I will let go of my will, Lord, and surrender to your will. And I pray with Mary right now to give all that I have over to your will, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, come into my life. Come into my life. Take over. Lead me. Let me know, Lord, right now that you're with me. And give me the grace to surrender to your will in my life. You are my King. You are my Lord. You are my Messiah, Lord. Jesus, I know you are here. And I know you're touching our listeners. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your blessing right now on all of our listeners and all of their needs. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Kevin, thank you for being with us.
You're
welcome. Father Bob, thank you. Tony, thank you. Peter, thank you for helping us.
John, thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Listeners, thank you for listening. We love you and we pray for you. Always.